I want to say, hey, I know you keep hearing us invite you in the house today to come to the Vine Church, but I want to tell you, today would be absolutely appropriate for me to be in a bomber hat and a bathrobe saying hello to the neighbor. If you know, you know, saying that something is full. It's the Christmas season, and you know it's Christmas. I'm just saying, we are thankful that you are hanging out with us here today as we kick off our series, Light of the World, and it is our Christmas series, and each and every week, as we go throughout this series, we're going to have an anchor verse, and then I'm going to do something a little different once we have that verse for us, just to help us prepare even more for the day. As a matter of fact, instead of going to the verse, here's what I want you to do right now. If you're sitting in your chair, we're going to do something a little different. I just want you to open your hands for a second, and we're going to pray. Let's pray real quick, all right? Jesus, we have our hands open. We know that nothing we do... it's all for you. Everything we do is for you, Jesus. There's nothing that we control. Every time we take control of something, Jesus, we only make it worse. But when you enter into the picture, you make it better. And so, Jesus, we have our hands wide open, our hearts postured towards you, because we receive what you are going to give us today. So I pray that our heart would be there. I pray in this time of chaos, this time of sickness, this time of just dark seasons, that we would see that you are the light. We love you, Jesus, and we do all of this for your glory and for your name. Amen. All right, so let's go ahead today. Got your Bible. You know where I'm going to go today, no matter what. But our anchor verse each and every week is going to be John 8:12. John 8:12, as we go throughout this week. So here we go. This is what Jesus says, if you've got your Bible, in John 8:12, and then we'll talk to you about the app and all that crazy good stuff in a second. John 8:12 says this. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And so throughout this series, that's what we're going to be walking through, is this verse. And so today, when it comes to this, before we get everywhere else we're going, you've heard me speak on this. If I spoke on nothing else, by God's grace, I could talk about this all day, every day. So you're going to know where we're going. But here's an old pastor joke for you. If you grew up in church, maybe you didn't, but you know this. They're so old, when God said, "Let there be light," they did what? Flip the switch, right? They're so old. Tough man, we're that sick. Merry Christmas. There we go. You know, if you're not here in the house, you missed that. Flip the switch. Flip the switch. They're so old, they flip the switch. When you're up at night in your room and you don't have a lamp, I know everything's controlled by your phone now, but to get light in a dark room, you gotta flip the switch. You gotta flip the switch. There's something that has to happen. There has to be a flip of the switch to turn darkness to light. Austin shared his story last week and was talking about how even a little bit of light, a little candlelight in the darkness, it's like flipping the switch for us to walk in light. And this time of year, I'm just going to be honest with you, I'm just going to say for all of us, many of us are in a dark season. We've gone through a loss of some kind. Maybe it's a 401k. Maybe your 401k has turned into a 400. It ain't even a 401k. It's just dropped like crazy. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you've lost a relationship. Maybe you're just walking through a dark season. And this is the time of year that we get to be reminded that the light has come into the world and Jesus is the hope that we're searching for. So like for me, I will tell you, hey, I'm just going to lay my cards on the table. Right now, there are days I don't feel like I'm in a dark room. I feel like I'm in a dark house. Is anybody else there? Like you're just in this space, like, and you're grappling around, and I just want to say, hey, I'm thankful for the grace and mercy of our Vine fam and for the Lord Jesus, because at times when I seem snappy or I seem, you know, just church curmudgeon, just old, I'm not old enough to be crusty old man, but I act like it more than I should. When I'm there, it's because I'm in a dark room. It's because I'm not letting the light shine through me. I'm searching for the light. And so many times, I'll be honest with you, in your Christian walk, you do that and you beat yourself up about it because you know Christ is in you. So for me, at times, I want to say, Austin shared it last week, even if Christ is in you in the darkest room, you can put on your best Roy Orbison shades and you won't hide the light. Now, that was an old man reference. If nobody knows, Pretty Woman, come on, let's just get there. You know Roy Orbison. Come on, I'm just saying. Old school bowl cut. If you know, bangs. Okay, we know. All right, so we got some glasses. So I just want to say for real, church, thank you for your patience. I'll be honest with you. In these past few years, there are times when I've been in the dark room more than I've been in the light room. And it is to be said for all of us that the reason Jesus lets us walk through that, as Austin said last week, is because he's working something out. We're gonna develop that a little more today as we talk about flip the switch. So if you've got your Bible today, we're going to be exactly where you expect me to be. We're going to start in Genesis, then we're going to go to John, and then we're going to end in Revelation as we talk about flip the switch. So if you've got your Bible today, go ahead and get to Genesis 1. If you don't have a Bible, we say it every week. We would love to give you one free for the asking. Our Vine production team's incredible. It's going to be on the screens wherever you're watching around the world. But for real, we have this crazy cool thing. Everybody uses their phone for everything. We have an app. It's absolutely free. I promise you, it's not tracking you. It's not doing anything like that. We just want to get a resource in your hands. You can connect with us throughout the week. Send your prayer request in. You can even take your own notes in the app. It's got its own Bible. It's got a Bible reading plan we walk through every week. It's got everything. It lets you know about Spur starting tonight. Like, it's got all you need. So you can download that for free today at thevine.tv/app. And let's go to Genesis 1 and see how God decided to flip the switch. Genesis 1, verse 1 through 5 says this: In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and empty. And there was darkness over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And then God said, Let there be light. And there was light, and he saw that the light was good, and he called the light day and the darkness night, and he separated them, and there was morning and evening on the first day. So for each and every one of us, God had this earth. He created the heavens and the earth from the beginning. It was void and formless, as I learned it in the NKJV back in the day. It was void and formless. Darkness was over the land, but God, look at this again. Did God say that darkness was good? No, light is what he said was good. So God flipped the switch, and we think that light is the sunlight. Many would go there, and it is the sun, but it's not the sun you think. He was there in the beginning. So all the way through, darkness was over the land, and God said, darkness isn't good, so let me do something about it. Boom, he flips the switch, and there's light. And so there's morning and evening. Now let's flip to John. John chapter 1. Everybody looked at John when I said that. John chapter 1. Everybody flipped to John. It was good. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5 says this. In the beginning, now time out. What did we just read in Genesis 1? In the beginning. See, when we come to something like this, I almost have to do this. I had to take my shoes off because we were on holy ground. In the beginning. That's that burning bush in front of Moses. That's Joshua standing there saying, are you for us, against us? And he says, hey, take your sandals off. You're on holy ground. Anytime we go to this, John is hearkening back to Genesis 1 where he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Nothing has been made that was not made through him. And in him was light. And that light was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light. That same light was there in Genesis 1. John is talking about Jesus. He's saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. This is the background music. This is the pad, if you will, to the Christmas story. This is setting the tone, the ambiance, the light, and that baby in a manger just sitting there. We get so caught up sometimes in that, but it's no coincidence. Was Jesus born in the day? What do we celebrate? He's born at night with a shining star, right? It's no coincidence that Jesus shows up in the night. He shows up in the night. See, in the beginning, the holy ground. See, Jesus is bringing in a new Genesis, and you say, well, that's just a repeat. Maybe you're new to Jesus, you're new to the church, you're new to trying to figure things out, and that's awesome, but I want to tell you, many times, yes, the Bible does repeat itself. But actually what John is pointing to is what Jesus came for. Originally, Jesus is the light. The earth was void and formless. God said, let there be light. The light's there. That is Jesus. We just read that in John 8:12. So God the Father, God the Son, that is Jesus, the light. God the Holy Spirit, all three were there in the beginning, right? Told you, y'all have heard me say this before, but sometimes you got to repeat some of these things because they're just something we got to hang on to. Was there in the beginning. And then in Genesis 2, all of a sudden, you know, Adam and Eve are made on the sixth day. Genesis 1 and 2 comes along, and then Genesis 3, we get that old serpent coming in. It says, will God really kill you? And we said, he won't kill us. Give me some of that apple, man. Let me have a good one. Let's go bobbing for apples with Satan. And so they go bobbing for apples. And God comes to them in the cool of the day. Says, where are you? They said, we knew we were naked, so we hid. Sin entered in. See, originally Adam and Eve were created to walk in the light, have the face of God, be in the presence of God. But when sin entered in, that darkness is what we were born in. And John says, the light has come to redeem you. You don't have to walk in darkness. That's why when we sing Silent Night, we talk about a weary world rejoicing that the light has come. See, for all of us, that's where we are in this dark room. Sometimes we can forget. I know myself, I can get so caught up in my circumstance, I forget I got the light in me. I really do. Sometimes I forget I have the light in me and I run the red light. And that's a problem. I mean, it is what it is. That's a problem. It's a problem. I invite them to church. Don't worry. Just invite them to church. But I forget about the light. See, I go back to Adam and Eve and say, God, I can control it. Just give it to me. And God's saying, just leave your hands open and trust me. See, Jesus came. Jesus came to usher in the new Genesis for us. So, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God in the beginning. We're on hallowed ground. This Word that's there, Logos. We get that name, logic, from it, right? Intellectual. In the beginning was the Word. See, something we're searching for. Let me ask you something when it comes to this before I even move on. All of us have been a child at some point. Some of us are children in the room, right? Right. We have that. All of us, let me ask you something. Were you afraid of the dark or the light? Which one were you afraid of? Did you have some children that are afraid of the light? I ain't talking about your vampire shows where we get on that like real. Are you afraid of the dark or are you afraid of the light? Why is that? Monsters and all that. What if it's ingrained inside of us that we weren't supposed to walk in the darkness? Even from a child. Childlike faith. We just need the light. So we need a night light on to walk through the darkness. See, all the way through, this is what John is saying, that light is Jesus. And we know, but as we get older, we like the darkness a little bit better. The darkness seems to be what goes on, that we walk through and we think that that's okay. And so when John is talking about this, the word logos is logic in the Greek. He's even saying your thinking itself is pointing you to Jesus. You can have all the best philosophy, you can have all the best arguments, and it's still going to point to Jesus because Jesus is the only hope. And so right now, maybe intellectually, you're in a season and this is where you are. Every Christmas, you keep getting bigger. Every Christmas, you think it's going to be different. Every Christmas, you try to make it, this year's going to be the year that the ball drops in New York City and Central, I don't know, whatever it is, and the New Year's Eve celebration. This year's going to be the year it's going to be better. And year after year after year, it doesn't get better. Trust me, I've been there. I get there at times myself. And when I'm there, I realize it's because I didn't let the light come in. I tried to control it. I tried to make it better. I tried to fight to make it better. I tried to make it better and better and better. But John is saying, hey, in your thinking, it isn't that you're just, I'm just one investment idea away, just one business away. You're only Jesus away. And so he goes on and he says this word, this logic, if you think you can figure out creation on your own, why not look to the Creator? And he says the light The life that brings light was there from the beginning. This life that he talks about is this Zoe, this life. This is an eternal life, a soul, a body, not just this life on this earth. No matter what we do, all of us know at some point we get to a space and place and realize we're gonna die. This body will die. They're like, no matter how much they try, listen, we are in the most technologically advanced time ever. And believe it or not, the average lifespan in the U.S. dropped. Yes, it could be COVID. Yes, it could be fentanyl, but think about that. We have the most advanced technology. I mean, we track everything. Like, we track sneezes and boogers and toenails, and you got a watch and an app for that. There's an app for everything. Earwax app. Like, there's all kinds of apps to keep you healthy. Did you take this vitamin, that vitamin, this vitamin, that vitamin? We're still going to die. We're still going to be walked out by six in the 8x2.5 or 8x3. That's what's going to happen. So then, what is our hope? Do we just try to make the most of the dash? Or do we understand that it's more than the beginning and expiration date on this earth, that it goes to eternity? See, Jesus came not just for the beginning and the end, not just for the beginning and the expiration date, for more than that. And that's what John is pointing to. So this is the when, the where, and the who of Christmas. Jesus, this is what it's all about. So if you've got your Bible, let's dive in more. We're going to learn about flipping the switch. Hang in there with me. Flip a couple pages to the right. Woo! A couple pages to the right. You're going to get to the most familiar verses in the Bible. We're going to go to John 3:16 through 20. And it says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life," or eternal life, as it says in the NIV. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." But look at this. "Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever does not believe in him stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light. Cockroaches, I'm just saying. You know, they don't like them lights. Y'all know, spray them. "Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear their deeds will be exposed." So I don't know about you. I'm preaching to myself today because I need to be preached to. So I'm going to preach to myself. Y'all can come along for the rest of this journey if you want to. But I'm going to tell you, so many times when I'm stuck in darkness, the reason I'm frustrated and old church curmudgeon is I remember what it was like to be stuck in the dark and to experience the light. I remember what it was like to have no hope. I remember what it was like to know that there was nothing I can turn to, that I was searching for something this world could not give me. But so many times, don't we like the darkness, is what it says as we get older. We love the darkness. Why? Because I'm sleepy. No, not because you're sleepy in the darkness. Because you're afraid of what's going to be revealed. And each and every one that's in this room that knows Jesus, you remember being there. There are people in this world right now, they're going to try to go to Christmas, and they're robbing and looting perhaps, or they're paying inflated prices for the Black Friday sale that goes all the way through the Super Bowl and this year. So for each and every one of us, it started on Valentine's Day this past year, and it'll keep going all the way through. So just don't worry about it. We got some littles. Never mind. I was just saying. Ho-ho may be a little late this year. We're going to see what's on sale. That being said, all the way through, wherever you are, you keep doing that, and you can't figure out why it's not any better. You got to see that Jesus is in the equation. So this is, I'm going to take you down my journey as I preach to myself today. And I want you to ask you something. They're going to throw a picture up of something on the screen. This could be bad. I'm just kidding. How many people know what this is? I don't know if it's up there or not. How many people remember what this is? Right? Man, that's some good times. If you're not here in the house, what that is a 35-millimeter film. Wonderfully put up there. The problem is on that one, it's beautiful, right? Anybody remember having those? Can you find this anywhere today? It's very hard, isn't it? It's very hard. All right, so let me tell you about this 35-millimeter film and where this is going. I promise you, it's going to go somewhere. And if it isn't, just pray for me. I need it anyway. So all the way through, This film is this. If you know anything about me, there's at least one person I know that's going to get what I'm talking about. It's good times. And if you're listening online, it's good. This harkens back to my WAGS day, my Walgreens days, when I worked in a photo lab way back in my day. God, I'm getting old. I can say way back in my day. That's good times. Back in my day, I used to process this film. I was in a photo lab, and we did this. I worked on a couple of different machines. The first machine I worked on was a Graytag machine. The second was an Aritsu. And then I learned Fuji machines, which you see mostly Fuji around right now. But those were the types of machines I worked on and became pretty good at it. I used to go to stores sometimes and could train when I was out west. And as we opened stores down here, those were kind of the ones that I would go on as we were going all the way through, because that was my deal. Now, this matters this time of year because we're about to send something out called a Christmas card, right? So this time of year would be always crazy in photo labs when we were doing things. But here's the thing about this film, all right? When it comes to this, it has a certain process. So most of the labs I worked in were a C41 process, which is a Kodak process of how you process this film. Some had a CN16. I think there was like an AKP number, and there was a different number that you had to go to, and there was a certain chemical process. Is what that means is if you put the wrong film in there, it can contaminate the machine, right? So here we go. Y'all with me? Give me an amen. It'll make sense. Okay, so to get this film ready, we have some prep work. What we had to do when I first started is you had to open up this thing called a dark bag. Makes sense. A dark bag. You would set this thing up, and you would have to shove your hands in, and it would have two things that would go all the way up to your elbows. And what it would do is it was to make sure that the film did not get light shocked. Because if you light shocked it, it would absolutely destroy the exposures. You couldn't see anything on it. So back in my day, we would have to go in there, and everything you did happened in a dark bag. Now, it doesn't happen that way as much now, but I'm old enough to say everything had to go in a dark bag. Everything you did with the processing of film and paper could not let light be exposed to it. It had to happen in the dark. And so what would happen is you had to go in there without seeing and use your hands. Cue Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze learning that, right, in the pottery wheel. Are you ready? Because that's what you had to do. Somebody had to guide you. Like, seriously, you would do it enough where you, like, I got to a space after doing it a few times where I could talk to you and do it and like, do that. I couldn't do it now if I tried. But you had to train somebody. So, like, everything, I'm talking the prints, the chemicals, the paint, everything realistically had to make sure that the light did not get in there. So, as we would get this ready, we'd get the film ready. When I first started, it only went in a leader card, and then it would go in a cassette. And now I think there's just a leader card with most of the machines, if they even get to do this anymore. But you would put that on there. You couldn't let the film see the light. The cassette was make sure it was light, had no light going in. And so then you would jam that cassette in the machine, and the film would go through the chemical process. Throughout all of that chemical process is that old school dark room. Remember those days? It's a dark room, but it's red. Whatever. It's a dark room, but it's red. You remember those? All those creepy, eerie films. You know, has there ever been a good movie where they have a dark room? It's always like a bad movie, isn't it? Think about it. In photos, it's always a bad movie. So it would go through that dark room process, and it would go through the chemical process. But here's the thing. There could be a little bit of light that got in the chemical process, but as long as it was covered in chemical, it would be exposed and fully developed. But if it didn't, and there was a jam, you had to push a button, roll everything out, and try to do everything you could not to light shock the film. Because what would happen is once the film goes out of the roll, if it's not covered in chemicals, when the light exposes it, if it's not covered in chemicals, it destroys the frame, the exposure. All right? We're getting there. Y'all going to run photo labs 20 years ago when we get there. Y'all going to be ready. Y'all going to be really equipped when it comes back around, okay? Hey, instant cameras are back around. Get ready. This is going to come back around. This is going to help you. I believe this is a business principle. You're going to open your own lab. I feel it. So what would happen is once it would go through the chemical process, it would shoot out and it had to dry. We used to have to hang the film up to dry because you didn't want the chemicals to leach together or to get into the frame selector to print the film. So once it dried, then it would go in the frame selector and it would print the copy of the exposure or the frame on the photo paper. And then you get your wonderful 20 by 75 picture that you want, whatever that is, 4x6 or 3.5x5. You get all these pictures. So hang in here with me. I promise you it's going somewhere. Here's the deal. You now know how to run photo. Congratulations. I now hereby grace you to walk into a Walgreens and process your own film. Just walk back there in the lab, tell them I sent you, and they're going to say, who? It is what it is, for real. You're going to have fun with that. See, many of us right now, if you're in Christ Jesus, see, we all start in the dark bag, in the dark. We can't be exposed to the light because we're not covered. When we do, it's distorting. Sin has distorted us, and it messes up the frame, the exposure, and messes up who we were supposed to be. For us to be fully developed, we got to be covered in something. And so when we confess and repent of our sins and we surrender lordship of our life to Christ, he can take that film that's now raveled in, that can be light shocked, and he puts it on that leader card and he brings it all the way through the chemical process. That chemical process in Christ Jesus is called sanctification. And the Holy Spirit brings us step by step all the way through. Now, church, when we're in sanctification is where we get angry at God because we still feel like we're in the dark. We think we're in the dark bag. We forget that we're not in the dark bag, and we think that this darkness, God's angry at us, he's mad at us, and what we're missing out on is his process. And we think, God, why can't it happen now? God, what's going on? And what we don't understand is Christ is covering us, helping us understand that when we are fully exposed, we can be fully developed in the light when we're covered in him through these chemicals. And then we come out, and the film is processed. And once the film is processed, that season we're in is this picture or this God wink of God's faithfulness. We say a picture is but worth a thousand words, but what I would say is this: a little God wink at his faithfulness. When we walk through the season, that frame is fully exposed, fully developed in the light, we see God's faithfulness in that picture. We look back at that, and the reason that we do that, and I think about this, and maybe it's just my little warped brain, is when this time of year comes, I have to look back at the pictures of my family and look at God's faithfulness. Those I won't see for a while until my race is done. Those that, the times that I thought, man, I almost gave up right there. But God, look at your faithfulness. See, if you're a Christian right now and you're in a dark season or you're in a dark room, I know I get angry. Because when I'm walking through that chemical bath, I think I'm still in that dark bag. I think God's mad at me. What did I do, God? Why did I deserve this? And he's just saying, trust me, step by step by step, and I promise you, in the dark, I will fully develop you because you're going to be fully exposed to the light. All of us start in that dark bag. All of us are in darkness. And see, what I mean is, I don't want you to understand something here. When I say light shocked earlier, what I don't mean is that you being exposed to Jesus is going to ruin your film. What I'm saying is you not covered in Jesus is what's going to ruin your film and your life. See, we start in that dark bag. So, Christian, understand, the darkness you think you're in may actually be God preparing you to be fully developed, just like that film. And I don't know about you, but I don't like the darkness. But every time I've seen and trusted him in the darkness, that picture he's painted has always been more beautiful than I could ask or imagine. Always. For others of us, maybe you aren't Christian. See, you spent your life trying to make Christmas better and better and better, or making your job or career or a degree or an address or a car, and you just can't figure out why it can't get better, and it's because you're trying to unroll your film yourself. As a matter of fact, you're stuck in the dark bag. John 3:16 through 20 just told us why you're stuck in the dark bag. Because you're afraid when your film roll is unraveled, you're afraid of what it will reveal. And Jesus said, in me, there is no fear. You don't have to worry about being light shocked. You don't have to worry about the film being unraveled. You don't have to worry about the role being fully developed. And so for you right now, maybe that's where you're stuck. You can't figure out why. You're doing everything you can to try to keep your film rolled up, tightly wound. But Jesus is saying, I died and came so that the film could be fully developed. And if that's you today, I just want to tell you there's hope. See, Jesus, John had a revelation. Revelation 22:5 is the revelation God gave John about what light really is supposed to be. So if you got your Bible, it says this. John is describing heaven when it comes here. Last chapter of the Bible, Genesis 22, verse 5 says this. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun. For the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. You and I were created to be fully exposed to the light. Way back in Genesis 1, sin entered in, made us be in darkness. And God said, I've already flipped the switch on the light once. Now I'm going to send the light. And he's going to flip the switch where darkness will never overcome it. Darkness will understand it can't overcome. And so Jesus came. Why? Why? We say Jesus lived the perfect sinless life we couldn't live. Absolutely, yes. That makes us holy. That makes us righteous in front of God. He died the death we deserve, the sacrifice for our sin on a blood-stained cross for us. He paid that. But the reason he rose again on the third day, when we say to live like we were created to be, to live out heaven on earth now, is so that we can be fully in the light now, because we're going to be for eternity. That's what this is meant to be. That is what Christmas is about. The light that shines through us is that. And so for each and every one of us, I want us to see and be reminded that God didn't just flip the switch at the beginning. Jesus was the switch that he flipped for each and every one of us. The hope that we seek, the light that we get to share. And in all seasons, we can do it. In our lowest lows and our lowest highs. In prison, in hospitals, in broke down cars, and broke down roofs, and houses that are leaky, and basements that are flooded, we can share his light in everything we do. Why? What started in darkness, God will have be fully in light. Genesis 1, God saw that the light was good. He separated the light from the darkness. Right now, you may feel like you're in a season of darkness. Know that in Christ, you're going to be fully in the light of it. Trust him in that. And for each and every one of us, I just want us to be reminded. Maybe you're in a dark season. Like I said, hey, all of us are. There are times I feel like I'm in a dark house. I don't even know what the switch is. I don't have kids, and I'm stepping on Legos everywhere. Like, I don't even know what's going on. I'm so frustrated, and I understand. I'm asking God, why are you mad at me? And he says, son, I'm just bringing you through my process. Sometimes in the darkness that we go through, and that sanctification process is so we can be fully developed, fully exposed as Adam and Eve were before the fall, to be fully in the light for eternity. Others of us that are stuck in that dark bag, we've all been there before Jesus, haven't we? I want you to know there are people in this house. There are people that know Jesus, that know exactly where you are right now, because we have all been there. The only way that we saw out is what Jesus said in John 8:12. When Jesus spoke to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What does that mean? Tyler, you just said we're going to go through dark seasons. Yep, I may go through a season of dark, but he lights my next step. He is a light, lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. This harkens all the way back to the Israelites being led out. So led out of Israel with a light. God's glory is always revealed in the light, and in the end, it will be his light that we will be fully exposed to for eternity. And so you're searching for purpose in your life, it's only going to be found in Christ. You're searching for the best gift this Christmas, it's only going to be found in Christ. You're searching for how to get through the season you're in, Christ is going to be the only answer. I'm telling you, everything I'm telling you, Jesus is the answer. He is the light. So today, I'm just going to ask, are you going to keep walking in darkness trying to solve yourself? Are you going to trust Jesus as the light? Christian, are you going to understand that the dark season you feel like you're walking through is God preparing you for what he has upcoming? For those who trust Jesus, I pray and hope you're encouraged and reminded at Christmas that no matter what, we have the light. And that is Christ Jesus. For those who don't know Jesus, I just want to say, would you consider him? You tried everything else, haven't you? Maybe it's addiction, maybe it's career, or maybe it's money, maybe it's no money. Maybe it's food, maybe it's no food. You tried everything else, how's that working out? Would you consider Jesus? Would you consider who he is? You have a bunch of people here that know the Lord that will tell you, we remember what it was like to walk in darkness. And then we remember what it was like to be able to walk in the fullness of his life. So today, we're about to say a prayer. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. And what we're doing in this prayer is we are acknowledging, we are confessing and repenting of our sins and giving lordship of our life to Christ. What does that mean? We're acknowledging that Jesus did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He is the light. When we follow him, we have life, as we just read in John 8:12. He lived a perfect, sinless life we couldn't live. You say, hey, I've never sinned. And I just want to say, have you ever been angry at somebody? You've sinned. Have you ever been a 2-year-old? You've sinned. Trust me, we've all sinned. Have you ever cut someone off going to Krispy Kreme and the hot now sign's on? You've sinned. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so Jesus did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He lived this perfect, sinless life for us that we couldn't live, but he didn't stop there. See, the wages of sin is death. Something had to die to pay the penalty for our sins. And instead of us dying for our sins, Jesus stood in our place and went to the cross and died for us. He went before us and died for us. So just understand, Jesus not only was perfect, he took on imperfection, our sin for us on the cross, died for us so we didn't have to, but then he rose again on the third day so that we could walk in fullness of life. When we say that, what he did is so that we can walk fully exposed in the light of Christ. It means we're no longer defined by our past shame and guilt of sin, no longer defined by our past failures, no longer defined by the mistakes we made, no longer defined by the people we upset or the people that we let down. We are defined by Christ. We are covered in him, just like that film in that chemical bath. We are covered in Christ and his righteousness. It's not something we've done. It's not our work. It's not serving at the soup kitchen. It's not giving every dollar we have to charity. It's trusting that Jesus is who he says he is and surrendering our entire life to him. And if you struggle with that today, one more time I'm going to ask you, you've tried everything else. How's that working out for you? Consider Jesus. And so we're about to say this prayer, and every head bow and every eye closed. We pray as a family here at the Vine Church for the benefit of those coming to faith for the first time. So please repeat these words after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross. But love me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life, the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in the house, if you're online, I'm going to ask you, no one's looking around, just me. If it's the first time you have prayed that prayer in faith and trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Jesus as the only way out of the darkness, that Jesus is the light, I'm going to ask you to boldly raise your hand on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. If you're online right now watching, would you leave us a hand up icon, or you can say, I just responded, or I received, whatever that looks like. If that's you online, if you're listening throughout the week, you can do that. You can leave us a comment. You can shoot us a message at hello@thevine.tv. Shoot us a text message at 864-580-6698. Leave us a message in the app. Leave us a message on social media. Whatever it takes. We want to celebrate this decision with you. When we celebrate this, it has nothing to do with us as we celebrate it. It has everything to do with Jesus. Because here's the thing. We want to get you plugged into a local church so that you could continue to grow, to be fully developed, to be who you were created to be. And for the rest of us, so many times, you can look up, we're about to worship. So many times, Jesus has to remind me that he saved me. It wasn't me. It wasn't my works. I could have all the knowledge. I could memorize all the scripture. I could give all I have, and it still could not measure up. And Jesus said, I'm enough. I'm enough for you. So as we go in this season, and everybody's swiping and maxing out cards just to buy gas and bread, but maybe to buy Christmas presents, let's know that Jesus has already paid the price. And we celebrate this season because he is the answer. No longer do we have to walk in darkness. We can walk in fullness of light. Would you stand and sing?
to thee, O Israel.
Not kidding. Merry Christmas. Thank you. Jeez Louise. We've got Emmanuel coming. Listen, hang on. Let me step in the light. I don't know. Let's do it this week. So here's the thing. Let's be reminded that God flipped the switch. Guess what the freedom is in that? I ain't got to find it. So I ain't got to step on no Legos. So this week, as people are stepping on Legos in the dark, or got to go to the bathroom in the dark. Well, we can't go to the bathroom, but got to go do stuff in the dark. God flipped the switch. All we got to do is say, hey, I didn't do it, but I'm going to point you to the one who did. So as we go out this week, as people are looking for turkeys and stuffing and taters and yams and pumpkin pies and dressings and macaronises and all that crazy stuff, that'll fill them for a day. But Jesus will satisfy them for eternity, just like he's done for us. So let's go in the streets, know that God's flipped the switch, let's step in the light, and let's point people to Jesus. And here's the thing, if you're listening online, get to church next week. We'd love to have you here, but I promise you there's one down the road too. Get there, because the fullest way to experience the light is to be in the presence of God's people. Have an awesome week. Celebrate Ugly Sweater Christmas with us. Ugly Sweater Christmas? That's every year. Ugly Christmas Sweater Sunday next week. And always remember, the best is still yet to come. All right, well, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good day, wherever you're watching around the world. I just want to say, hey, I know you keep hearing us invite you in the house today to come to the Vine Church, but I want to tell you, today would be absolutely appropriate for me to be in a bomber hat and a bathrobe saying hello to the neighbor. If you know, you know, saying that something is full. It's the Christmas season, and you know It's Christmas. I'm just saying. We are thankful that you are hanging out with us here today as we kick off our series, Light of the World. And it is our Christmas series. And each and every week, as we go throughout this series, we're going to have an anchor verse. Then I'm going to do something a little different once we have that verse for us, just to help us prepare even more for the day. As a matter of fact, instead of going to the verse, here's what I want you to do right now. If you're sitting in your chair, we're going to do something a little different. I just want you to open your hands for a second, and we're going to pray. Let's pray real quick, all right? Jesus, we have our hands open. We know that nothing we do, it's all for you. Everything we do is for you, Jesus. There's nothing that we control. Every time we take control of something, Jesus, we only make it worse. But when you enter into the picture, you make it better. And so, Jesus, we have our hands wide open, our hearts postured towards you, because we receive what you are going to give us today. So I pray that our heart would be there. I pray in this time of chaos, this time of sickness, this time of just dark seasons, that we would see that you are the light. We love you, Jesus, and we do all of this for your glory and for your name. Amen. All right, so let's go ahead today. Got your Bible. You know where I'm going to go today, no matter what. But our anchor verse each and every week is going to be John 8:12. John 8:12. As we go throughout this week. So here we go. This is what Jesus says, if you've got your Bible, in John 8:12, and then we'll talk to you about the app and all that crazy good stuff in a second. John 8:12 says this. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And so throughout this series, that's what we're going to be walking through, is this verse. And so today, when it comes to this, before we get everywhere else we're going, you've heard me speak on this. If I spoke on nothing else, by God's grace, I could talk about this all day, every day. So you're going to know where we're going. But here's an old pastor joke for you. If you grew up in church, maybe you didn't, but you know this. They're so old, when God said, "Let there be light," they did what? Flip the switch, right? They're so old. We're that sick. Merry Christmas. There we go. You know, if you're not here in the house, you missed that. Flip the switch. Flip the switch. They're so old, they flip the switch. When you're up at night in your room and you don't have a lamp, I know everything's controlled by your phone now, but to get light in a dark room, you gotta flip the switch. You got to flip the switch. There's something that has to happen. There has to be a flip of the switch to turn darkness to light. Austin shared his story last week and was talking about how even a little bit of light, a little candlelight in the darkness, is like flipping the switch for us to walk in light. And this time of year, I'm just going to be honest with you, I'm just going to say for all of us, many of us are in a dark season. We've gone through a loss of some kind. Maybe it's a 401k. Maybe your 401k has turned into a 400. It ain't even a 401k. It's just dropped like crazy. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you've lost a relationship. Maybe you're just walking through a dark season. And this is the time of year that we get to be reminded that the light has come into the world and Jesus is the hope that we're searching for. So like for me, I will tell you, hey, I'm just going to lay my cards on the table. Right now, there are days I don't feel like I'm in a dark room. I feel like I'm in a dark house. Is anybody else there? Like you're just in this space, like, and you're grappling around, and I just want to say, hey, I'm thankful for the grace and mercy of our Vine fam and for the Lord Jesus, because at times when I seem snappy or I seem, just church curmudgeon, just old, I'm not old enough to be crusty old man, but I act like it more than I should. When I'm there, it's because I'm in a dark room. It's because I'm not letting the light shine through me. I'm searching for the light. And so many times, I'll be honest with you, in your Christian walk, you do that and you beat yourself up about it because you know Christ is in you. So for me, at times, I want to say, Austin shared it last week, if Christ is in you in the darkest room, you can put on your best Roy Orbison shades and you won't hide the light. Now, that was an old man reference. If nobody knows, Pretty Woman, come on, let's just get there. You know Roy Orbison. Come on, I'm just saying. Old school bowl cut. If you know, bangs. Okay, we know. All right, so we got some glasses. So I just want to say for real, church, thank you for your patience. I'll be honest with you. In these past few years, there are times when I've been in the dark room more than I've been in the light room. And it is to be said for all of us that the reason Jesus lets us walk through that, as Austin said last week, is because he's working something out. We're going to develop that a little more today as we talk about flip the switch. So if you've got your Bible today, we're going to be where exactly where you expect me to be. We're going to start in Genesis, then we're going to go to John, and then we're going to end in Revelation as we talk about flip the switch. So if you've got your Bible today, go ahead and get to Genesis 1. If you don't have a Bible, we say it every week. We would love to give you one free for the asking. Our Vine production team's incredible. It's going to be on the screens wherever you're watching around the world. But for real, we have this crazy cool thing. Everybody uses their phone for everything. We have an app. It's absolutely free. I promise you, it's not tracking you. It's not doing anything like that. We just want to get a resource in your hands. You can connect with us throughout the week. Send your prayer request in. You can even take your own notes in the app. It's got its own Bible. It's got a Bible reading plan we walk through every week. It's got everything. It lets you know about Spur starting tonight. Like, it's got all you need. So you can download that for free today at thevine.tv/app. And let's go to Genesis 1 and see how God decided to flip the switch. Genesis 1, verse 1 through 5 says this: In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and empty. And there was darkness over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And then God said, Let there be light. And there was light, and he saw that the light was good, and he called the light day and the darkness night, and he separated them, and there was morning and evening on the first day. So for each and every one of us, God had this earth. He created the heavens and the earth from the beginning. It was void and formless, as I learned it in the NKJV back in the day. It was void and formless. Darkness was over the land, but God, look at this again. Did God say that darkness was good? No, light is what he said was good. So God flipped the switch, and we think that light is the sunlight. Many would go there, and it is the sun, but it's not the sun you think. He was there in the beginning. So all the way through, darkness was over the land, and God said, darkness isn't good, so let me do something about it. Boom, he flips the switch, and there's light. And so there's morning and evening. Now let's flip to John. John chapter 1. Everybody looked at John when I said that. John chapter 1. Everybody flipped to John. It was good. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5 says this. In the beginning, now time out. What did we just read in Genesis 1? In the beginning. See, when we come to something like this, I almost have to do this. I had to take my shoes off because we're on holy ground. In the beginning. That's that burning bush in front of Moses. That's Joshua standing there saying, are you for us, against us? And he says, hey, take your sandals off. You're on holy ground. Anytime we go to this, John is hearkening back to Genesis 1 where he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Nothing has been made that was not made through him. And in him was light, and that light was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light. That same light was there in Genesis 1. John is talking about Jesus. He's saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. This is the background music. This is the pad, if you will, to the Christmas story. This is setting the tone, the ambiance, the light, and that baby in a manger just sitting there. We get so caught up sometimes in that, but it's no coincidence. Was Jesus born in the day? What do we celebrate? He's born at night with a shining star, right? It's no coincidence that Jesus shows up in the night. He shows up in the night. See, in the beginning, the holy ground. See, Jesus is bringing in a new Genesis, and you say, well, that's just a repeat. Maybe you're new to Jesus, you're new to the church, you're new to trying to figure things out, and that's awesome, but I'm going to tell you, many times, yes, the Bible does repeat itself, but actually what John is pointing to is what Jesus came for. Originally, Jesus is the light. The earth was void and formless. God said, let there be light. The light's there. That is Jesus. We just read that in John 8:12. So God the Father, God the Son, that is Jesus, the light. God the Holy Spirit, all three were there in the beginning, right? Told you, y'all have heard me say this before, but sometimes you got to repeat some of these things because they're just something we got to hang on to. Was there in the beginning. And then in Genesis 2, all of a sudden, you know, Adam and Eve are made on the sixth day. Genesis 1 and 2 comes along, and then Genesis 3, we get that old serpent coming in and says, "Will God really kill you?" And we said, "Ah, he won't kill us. Give me some of that apple, man. Let me have a good one. Let's go bobbing for apples with Satan." And so they go bobbing for apples. And God comes to them in the cool of the day. He says, "Where are you?" They said, "We knew we were naked, so we hid." Sin entered in. See, originally Adam and Eve were created to walk in the light, have the face of God, be in the presence of God. But when sin entered in, that darkness is what we were born in. And John says, the light has come to redeem you. You don't have to walk in darkness. That's why when we sing Silent Night, we talk about a weary world rejoicing that the light has come. See, for all of us, that's where we are in this dark room. Sometimes we can forget. I know myself, I can get so caught up in my circumstance, I forget I got the light in me. I really do. Sometimes I forget I have the light in me, and I run the red light. And that's a problem. I mean, it is what it is. That's a problem. It's a problem. I invite them to church. Don't worry. Just invite them to church. But I forget about the light. See, I go back to Adam and Eve and say, "God, I can control it. Just give it to me." And God's saying, "Just leave your hands open and trust me." See, Jesus came to usher in the new Genesis for us. So, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, we're on hallowed ground. This word that's there, logos. We get that name, logic, from it, right? Intellectual. In the beginning was the Word. See something we're searching for. Let me ask you something when it comes to this before I even move on. All of us have been a child at some point. Some of us are children in the room. Right. We have that. All of us, let me ask you something. Were you afraid of the dark or the light? Which one were you afraid of? Did you have some children that are afraid of the light? I ain't talking about your vampire shows where we get on that like real. Are you afraid of the dark or are you afraid of the light? Why is that? Monsters and all that. What if it's ingrained inside of us that we weren't supposed to walk in the darkness? Even from a child. Childlike faith. We just need the light. So we need a night light on to walk through the darkness. See, all the way through, this is what John is saying, that light is Jesus. And we know, but as we get older, we like the darkness a little bit better. The darkness seems to be what goes on, that we walk through and we think that that's okay. And so when John is talking about this, the word logos is logic in the Greek. He's even saying your thinking itself is pointing you to Jesus. You can have all the best philosophy, you can have all the best arguments, and it's still going to point to Jesus, because Jesus is the only hope. And so right now, maybe intellectually, you're in a season, and this is where you are. Every Christmas, you keep getting bigger. Every Christmas, you think it's going to be different. Every Christmas, you try to make it, this year's going to be the year that the ball drops in New York City and Central, I don't know, whatever it is, and the New Year's Eve celebration. This year's going to be the year it's going to be better. And year after year after year, it doesn't get better. Trust me, I've been there. I get there at times myself. And when I'm there, I realize it's because I didn't let the light come in. I tried to control it. I tried to make it better. I tried to fight to make it better. I tried to make it better and better and better. But John is saying, hey, in your thinking, it isn't that you're just, I'm just one investment idea away, just one business away. You're only Jesus away. And so he goes on and he says this word, this logic, if you think you can figure out creation on your own, why not look to the Creator? And he says the light, the life that brings light, was there from the beginning. This life that he talks about is this Zoe, this life. This is an eternal life, a soul, a body, not just this life on this earth. No matter what we do, all of us know at some point we get to a space and place and realize we're gonna die. This body will die. They're like, no matter how much they try, listen, we are in the most technologically advanced time ever. And believe it or not, the average lifespan in the U.S. dropped. Yes, it could be COVID. Yes, it could be fentanyl. But think about that. We have the most advanced technology. I mean, we track everything. Like, we track sneezes and boogers and toenails, and you got a watch and an app for that. There's an app for everything. Earwax app. Like, there's all kinds of apps to keep you healthy. Did you take this vitamin, that vitamin, this vitamin, that vitamin? We're still going to die. We're still going to be walked out by six and an 8x2.5 or 8x3. That's what's going to happen. So then, what is our hope? Do we just try to make the most of the dash? Or do we understand that it's more than the beginning and expiration date on this earth, that it goes to eternity? See, Jesus came not just for the beginning and the end, not just for the beginning and the expiration date, for more than that. And that's what John is pointing to. So this is the when, the where, and the who of Christmas. Jesus, this is what it's all about. So if you've got your Bible, let's dive in more. We're going to learn about flipping the switch. Hang in there with me. Flip a couple pages to the right. Woo! A couple pages to the right. You're going to get to the most familiar verses in the Bible. We're going to go to John 3:16 through 20. And it says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. But whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life," or eternal life, as it says in the NIV. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." But look at this: "Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever does not believe in him stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict: light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light." Cockroaches, I'm just saying. You know, they don't like them lights. Y'all know. Spray them. "Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear their deeds will be exposed." So I don't know about you. I'm preaching to myself today because I need to be preached to. So I'm going to preach to myself. Y'all can come along for the rest of this journey if you want to. But I'm going to tell you, so many times when I'm stuck in darkness, the reason I'm frustrated and old church curmudgeon is I remember what it was like to be stuck in the dark and to experience the light. I remember what it was like to have no hope. I remember what it was like to know that there was nothing I can turn to, that I was searching for something this world could not give me. But so many times, don't we like the darkness, is what it says as we get older. We love the darkness. Why? Because I'm sleepy. No, not because you're sleepy in the darkness. Because you're afraid of what's going to be revealed. And each and every one that's in this room that knows Jesus, you remember being there. There are people in this world right now, they're going to try to go to Christmas, and they're robbing and looting, perhaps, or they're paying inflated prices for the Black Friday sale that goes all the way through the Super Bowl and this year. So for each and every one of us, it started on Valentine's Day this past year, and it'll keep going all the way through. So just don't worry about it. We got some littles. Never mind. I was just saying. Ho-ho may be a little late this year. We're going to see what's on sale. That being said, all the way through, wherever you are, you keep doing that, and you can't figure out why it's not any better. You got to see that Jesus is in the equation. So this is, I'm going to take you down my journey as I preach to myself today. And I want you to ask you something. They're going to throw a picture up of something on the screen. This could be bad. I'm just kidding. How many people know what this is? I don't know if it's up there or not. How many people remember what this is? Right? Man, that's some good times. If you're not here in the house, what that is a 35-millimeter film. Wonderfully put up there. The problem is on that one, it's beautiful, right? Anybody remember having those? Can you find this anywhere today? It's very hard, isn't it? It's very hard. All right, so let me tell you about this 35-millimeter film and where this is going. I promise you, it's going to go somewhere. And if it isn't, just pray for me. I need it anyway. So all the way through, this film is this. If you know anything about me, there's at least one person I know that's going to get what I'm talking about. It's good times. And if you're listening online, it's good. This harkens back to my WAGS day, my Walgreens days, when I worked in a photo lab way back in my day. God, I'm getting old. I can say way back in my day. That's good times. Back in my day, I used to process this film. I was in a photo lab, and we did this. I worked on a couple of different machines. The first machine I worked on was a Graytag machine. The second was a Noritsu. And then I learned Fuji machines, which you see mostly Fuji around right now. But those are the types of machines I worked on and became pretty good at it. I used to go to stores sometimes and could train when I was out west, and as we opened stores down here, those were kind of the ones that I would go on as we were going all the way through, because that was my deal. Now, this matters this time of year because we're about to send something out called a Christmas card, right? So this time of year would be always crazy in photo labs when we were doing things. But here's the thing about this film, all right? When it comes to this, it has a certain process. So most of the labs I worked in were a C41 process, which is a Kodak process of how you process this film. Some had a CN16. I think there was like an AKP number, and there was a different number that you had to go to. And there was a certain chemical process. Is what that means is if you put the wrong film in there, it can contaminate the machine, right? So here we go. Y'all with me? Give me an amen. It'll make sense. Okay, so to get this film ready, we have some prep work. Had some prep work. What we had to do when I first started is you had to open up this thing called a dark bag. Makes sense. A dark bag, you would set this thing up, and you would have to shove your hands in, and it would have two things that would go all the way up to your elbows. And what it would do is it was to make sure that the film did not get light shocked. Because if you light shocked it, it would absolutely destroy the exposures. You couldn't see anything on it. So back in my day, we would have to go in there, and everything you did happened in a dark bag. Now, it doesn't happen that way as much now, but I'm old enough to say everything had to go in a dark bag. Everything you did with the processing of film and paper could not let light be exposed to it. It had to happen in the dark. And so what would happen is you had to go in there without seeing and use your hands. Cue Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze learning that, right, in the pottery wheel. Are you ready? Because that's what you had to do. Somebody had to guide you. Like, seriously, you would do it enough where you, like, I got to a space after doing it a few times where I could talk to you and do it and like, do that. I couldn't do it now if I tried. But you had to train somebody. So, like, everything. I'm talking the prints, the chemicals, the pay, everything realistically had to make sure that the light did not get in there. So as we would get this ready, we'd get the film ready. When I first started, it only went in a leader card, and then it would go in a cassette. And now I think there's just a leader card with most of the machines if they even get to do this anymore. But you would put that on there. You couldn't let the film see the light. The cassette was make sure it was light, had no light going in. And so then you would jam that cassette in the machine, and the film would go through the chemical process. Throughout all of that chemical process is that old school dark room. Remember those days? It's a dark room, but it's red. Whatever. It's a dark room, but it's red. You remember those? All those creepy, eerie films. You know, has there ever been a good movie where they have a dark room? It's always like a bad movie, isn't it? Think about it. In photos, it's always a bad movie. So it would go through that dark room process, and it would go through the chemical process. But here's the thing. There could be a little bit of light that got in the chemical process, but as long as it was covered in chemical, it would be exposed and fully developed. But if it didn't, and there was a jam, you had to push a button, roll everything out, and try to do everything you could not to light shock the film. Because what would happen is once the film goes out of the roll, if it's not covered in chemicals, when the light exposes it, it's not covered in chemicals. It destroys the frame, the exposure. All right? We're getting there. Y'all going to run photo labs 20 years ago when we get there. Y'all going to be ready. Y'all going to be really equipped when it comes back around, okay? Hey, instant cameras are back around. Get ready. This is going to come back around. This is going to help you. I believe this is a business principle. You're going to open your own lab. I feel it. So what would happen is once it would go through the chemical process, it would shoot out and it had to dry. We used to have to hang the film up to dry because you didn't want the chemicals to leach together or to get into the frame selector to print the film. So once it dried, then it would go in the frame selector and it would print the copy of the exposure or the frame on the photo paper. And then you get your wonderful 20 by 75 picture that you want, whatever that is, 4x6 or 3.5x5. You get all these pictures. So hang in here with me. I promise you it's going somewhere. Here's the deal. You now know how to run photo. Congratulations. I now hereby grace you to walk into a Walgreens and process your own film. Just walk back there in the lab, tell them I sent you, and they're going to say, who? It is what it is, for real. You're going to have fun with that. See, many of us right now, if you're in Christ Jesus, see, we all start in the dark bag, in the dark. We can't be exposed to the light because we're not covered. When we do, it's distorting. Sin has distorted us, and it messes up the frame, the exposure, and messes up who we were supposed to be. For us to be fully developed, we got to be covered in something. And so when we confess and repent of our sins and we surrender lordship of our life to Christ, he can take that film that's now raveled in, that can be light shocked, and he puts it on that leader card and he brings it all the way through the chemical process. That chemical process in Christ Jesus is called sanctification. And the Holy Spirit brings us step by step all the way through. Now, church, when we're in sanctification is where we get angry at God because we still feel like we're in the dark. We think we're in the dark bag. We forget that we're not in the dark bad, and we think that this darkness, God's angry at us, he's mad at us, and what we're missing out on is his process. And we think, God, why can't it happen now? God, what's going on? And what we don't understand is Christ is covering us, helping us understand that when we are fully exposed, we can be fully developed in the light when we're covered in him through these chemicals. And then we come out, and the film is processed. And once the film is processed, that season we're in is this picture or this God wink of God's faithfulness. We say a picture is but worth a thousand words, but what I would say is this: a little God wink at his faithfulness. When we walk through the season, that frame is fully exposed, fully developed in the light, we see God's faithfulness in that picture. We look back at that, and the reason that we do that, and I think about this, and maybe it's just my little warped brain, is when this time of year comes, I have to look back at the pictures of my family and look at God's faithfulness. Those I won't see for a while, until my race is done. The times that I thought, man, I almost gave up right there. But God, look at your faithfulness. See, if you're a Christian right now and you're in a dark season or you're in a dark room, I know I get angry. Because when I'm walking through that chemical bath, I think I'm still in that dark bag. I think God's mad at me. What did I do, God? Why did I deserve this? And he's just saying, trust me, step by step by step. And I promise you, in the dark, I will fully develop you because you're going to be fully exposed to the light. All of us start in that dark bag. All of us are in darkness. And see, what I mean is, I don't want you to understand something here. When I say light shocked earlier, what I don't mean is that you being exposed to Jesus is going to ruin your film. What I'm saying is you not covered in Jesus is what's going to ruin your film in your life. See, we start in that dark bag. So, Christian, understand, the darkness you think you're in may actually be God preparing you to be fully developed, just like that film. And I don't know about you, but I don't like the darkness. But every time I've seen and trusted him in the darkness, that picture he's painted has always been more beautiful than I could ask or imagine. Always. For others of us, maybe you aren't Christian. See, you spent your life trying to make Christmas better and better and better, or making your job or career or a degree or an address or a car, and you just can't figure out why it can't get better, and it's because you're trying to unroll your film yourself. As a matter of fact, you're stuck in the dark bag. John 3:16 through 20 just told us why you're stuck in the dark bag. Because you're afraid when your film roll is unraveled, you're afraid of what it will reveal. And Jesus said, in me, there is no fear. You don't have to worry about being light shocked. You don't have to worry about the film being unraveled. You don't have to worry about the role being fully developed. And so for you right now, maybe that's where you're stuck. You can't figure out why. You're doing everything you can to try to keep your film rolled up, tightly wound. Jesus is saying, I died and came so that the film could be fully developed. And if that's you today, I just want to tell you there's hope. See, Jesus, John had a revelation. Revelation 22:5 is the revelation God gave John about what light really is supposed to be. So if you got your Bible, it says this. John is describing heaven when it comes here. Last chapter of the Bible, Genesis 22, verse 5 says this. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun. For the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. You and I were created to be fully exposed to the light. Way back in Genesis 1, sin entered in, made us be in darkness. And God said, I've already flipped the switch on the light once. Now I'm going to send the light. And he's going to flip the switch. Or darkness will never overcome it. Darkness will understand it can't overcome. And so Jesus came. Why? Why? We say Jesus lived the perfect sinless life we couldn't live. Absolutely, yes. That makes us holy. That makes us righteous in front of God. He died the death we deserve, the sacrifice for our sin on a blood-stained cross for us. He paid that. But the reason he rose again on the third day, when we say to live like we were created to be, to live out heaven on earth now, is so that we can be fully in the light now, because we're going to be for eternity. That's what this is meant to be. That is what Christmas is about. The light that shines through us is that. And so for each and every one of us, I want us to see and be reminded that God didn't just flip the switch at the beginning. Jesus was the switch that he flipped for each and every one of us. The hope that we seek, the light that we get to share. And in all seasons, we can do it. In our lowest lows and our lowest highs. In prison, in hospitals, in broke down cars, and broke down roofs, and houses that are leaky, and basements that are flooded, we can share his light in everything we do. Why? What started in darkness, God will have be fully in light. Genesis 1, God saw that the light was good. He separated the light from the darkness. Right now, you may feel like you're in a season of darkness. Know that in Christ, you're going to be fully in the light of it. Trust him in that. And for each and every one of us, I just want us to be reminded. Maybe you're in a dark season. Like I said, hey, all of us have been, there are times I feel like I'm in a dark house. I don't even know what the switch is. I don't have kids, and I'm stepping on Legos everywhere. Like, I don't even know what's going on. I'm so frustrated, and I understand. I'm asking God, why are you mad at me? And he says, son, I'm just bringing you through my process. Sometimes in the darkness that we go through, and that sanctification process is so we can be fully developed, fully exposed as Adam and Eve were before the fall, to be fully in the light for eternity. Others of us that are stuck in that dark bag, we've all been there before Jesus, haven't we? I want you to know there are people in this house, there are people that know Jesus, that know exactly where you are right now, because we have all been there. The only way that we saw out is what Jesus said in John 8:12. When Jesus spoke to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What does that mean? Tyler, you just said we're going to go through dark seasons. Yep, I may go through a season of dark, but he lights my next step. He is a light, lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. This harkens all the way back to the Israelites being led out. So it led out of Israel with a light. God's glory is always revealed in the light, and in the end, it will be his light that we will be fully exposed to for eternity. And so you're searching for purpose in your life, it's only going to be found in Christ. You're searching for the best gift this Christmas, it's only going to be found in Christ. You're searching for how to get through the season you're in, Christ is going to be the only answer. I'm telling you, everything I'm telling you, Jesus is the answer. He is the light. So today, I'm just going to ask, are you going to keep walking in darkness trying to solve yourself? Are you going to trust Jesus as the light? Christian, are you going to understand that the dark season you feel like you're walking through is God preparing you for what he has upcoming? For those who trust Jesus, I pray and hope you're encouraged and reminded at Christmas that no matter what, we have the light. And that is Christ Jesus. For those who don't know Jesus, I just want to say, would you consider him? You tried everything else, haven't you? Maybe it's addiction, maybe it's career, or maybe it's money, maybe it's no money. Maybe it's food, maybe it's no food. You tried everything else, how is that working out? Would you consider Jesus? Would you consider who he is? You have a bunch of people here that know the Lord that will tell you, we remember what it was like to walk in darkness. And then we remember what it was like to be able to walk in the fullness of his life. So today, we're about to say a prayer. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. And what we're doing in this prayer is we are acknowledging, we are confessing and repenting of our sins and giving lordship of our life to Christ. What does that mean? We're acknowledging that Jesus did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He lived a perfect sinless life. He is the light. When we follow him, we have life, as we just read in John 8:12. He lived the perfect sinless life we couldn't live. You say, hey, I've never sinned. And I just want to say, have you ever been angry at somebody? You've sinned. Have you ever been a two-year-old? You've sinned. Trust me, we've all sinned. Have you ever cut someone off going to Krispy Kreme and the Hot Now signs on? You've sinned. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so Jesus did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He lived this perfect, sinless life for us that we couldn't live, but he didn't stop there. See, the wages of sin is death. Something had to die to pay the penalty for our sins. And instead of us dying for our sins, Jesus stood in our place and went to the cross and died for us. He went before us and died for us. So just understand, Jesus not only was perfect, he took on imperfection, our sin for us on the cross, died for us so we didn't have to. But then he rose again on the third day so that we could walk in fullness of life. When we say that, what he did is so that we can walk fully exposed in the light of Christ. It means we're no longer defined by our past shame and guilt of sin, no longer defined by our past failures, no longer defined by the mistakes we made, no longer defined by the people we upset or the people that we let down. We are defined by Christ. We are covered in him. Just like that film in that chemical bath, we are covered in Christ and his righteousness. It's not something we've done. It's not our work. It's not serving at the soup kitchen. It's not giving every dollar we have to charity. It's trusting that Jesus is who he says he is and surrendering our entire life to him. And if you struggle with that today, one more time I'm going to ask you, you've tried everything else. How's that working out for you? Consider Jesus. And so we're about to say this prayer, and every head bow and every eye closed. We pray as a family here at the Vine Church for the benefit of those coming to faith for the first time. So please repeat these words after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross. But love me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life, the best way I know how. With every head bow and every eye closed, if you're in the house, if you're online, I'm going to ask you, no one's looking around, just me. If it's the first time you have prayed that prayer in faith and trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Jesus as the only way out of the darkness, that Jesus is the light, I'm going to ask you to boldly raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. If you're online right now watching, would you leave us a hand up icon, or you can say, I just responded, or I receive, whatever that looks like. If that's you online, if you're listening throughout the week, you can do that. You can leave us a comment. You can shoot us a message at hello@thevine.tv. Shoot us a text message at 864-580-6698. Leave us a message in the app. Leave us a message on social media. Whatever it takes. We want to celebrate this decision with you. When we celebrate this, it has nothing to do with us as we celebrate it. It has everything to do with Jesus. Because here's the thing. We want to get you plugged into a local church so that you can continue to grow, to be fully developed, to be who you were created to be. And for the rest of us, so many times, you can look up, we're about to worship. So many times, Jesus has to remind me that he saved me. It wasn't me. It wasn't my works. I could have all the knowledge. I could memorize all the scripture. I could give all I have, and it still could not measure up. And Jesus said, I'm enough. I'm enough for you. So as we go in this season, and everybody's swiping and maxing out cards just to buy gas and bread, but maybe to buy Christmas presents, let's know that Jesus has already paid the price. And we celebrate this season because he is the answer. No longer do we have to walk in darkness. We can walk in fullness of light. Would you stand and sing?
Captive.
sings out here until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O
not kidding. Merry Christmas. Thank you. Jeez Louise. We've got Emmanuel coming. Listen, hang on. Let me step in the light. I don't know. Let's do it this week. So here's the thing. Let's be reminded that God flipped the switch. Guess what the freedom is in that? I ain't got to find it. So I ain't got to step on no Legos. So this week, as people are stepping on Legos in the dark, or got to go to the bathroom in the dark. Well, we can't go to the bathroom, but got to go do stuff in the dark. God flipped the switch. All we got to do is say, hey, I didn't do it, but I'm going to point you to the one who did. So as we go out this week, as people are looking for turkeys and stuffing and taters and yams and pumpkin pies and dressings and macaronises and all that crazy stuff, that'll fill them for a day. But Jesus will satisfy them for eternity, just like he's done for us. So let's go in the streets, know that God's flipped the switch, let's step in the light, and let's point people to Jesus. And here's the thing, if you're listening online, get to church next week. We'd love to have you here, but I promise you there's one down the road too. Get there, because the fullest way to experience the light is to be in the presence of God's people. Have an awesome week. Celebrate Ugly Sweater Christmas with us. Ugly Sweater Christmas? That's every year. Ugly Christmas Sweater Sunday next week. And always remember, the best is still yet to come.